Oh, wow. It's time for Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, MOTAT. Modern societies. What does that mean? What period of time are we talking?
Well, I guess this is... I read this the other day, and it sort of was interesting. I guess we consider ourselves to be modern in the sense that we have laws and a legal code. Some of us, at least, follow a god, a supernatural being. There are bureaucrats to whom rulers are accountable. And those are sort of the hallmarks of a modern, I guess,
talking
society.
About the sort of structure, I suppose, that we adhere to? Or?
Right, yeah, sort of, yeah, modern sort of rules and the way things work, I guess.
Rules, there
rules.
We go.
Rules and shit. There's been an idea for the last few hundred years that humans became modern really all around about the same time across the globe, and that was between about 1000 BC and I guess the year zero. I guess that sort of millennium, this is an idea that's been sort of embraced for quite a long time now, and especially in the middle of the last century, a Swiss philosopher, Karl Jaspers, really thought that between about 800 and 200 BC, sort of the modern humans or modern society developed in five places. Those are Greece, the Israel-Palestine area, Iran, India, and China. Mm-hmm. And they independently embrace an idea of moral universalism, or the idea that people are morally bound to each other by their common humanity.
So that was like the first rule?
That was it, yeah.
Wow.
So this has been an idea that's been sort of accepted, and it's been coined, the name of this is called the Axial Age. So this is the age where we're sort of transforming ourselves into a modern society. But there are some people who want to challenge this idea. And I didn't know that history was using big data, but apparently
wow.
They are. So big data is basically everywhere. And there are some studies now that survey some big historical databases. These are databases where historians and others put in events and information about civilizations, and all sorts of stuff goes in, and you can survey these and look at whether there are sort of big trends in this. And there's a couple of studies, one in 2018 and one more recently. The one in 2018 added a few extra countries, so they added sort of Italy, Turkey, Egypt, Cambodia, and Japan to the mix.
Oh, okay.
The more recent survey added societies in Southeast Asia, Polynesia, West Africa, North and South America during the same sort of period. Mm. And it comes, the conclusion it comes is that it's more messy than the original.
Oh, you don't say.
Basically, things didn't arrive at the same sort of time, and many of the traits that define sort of a modern society arose in areas that were unexpected and independent of other areas. To do the latest survey, they looked at a list of 12 measures. So that these are components that people widely agree on for a component of an axial transformation in society, and they are formation of a legal code, or they include formation of a legal code, belief in an all-knowing supernatural being, and these existence of full-time bureaucrats who held rulers accountable. The findings threw up a wide spectrum of times and places for the emergence of axial features. So Egypt wasn't really considered before, but the survey found clear evidence of axiality there long before. So this is around 1200 BC, so before this sort of millennium age. Mm-hmm. That was considered before. This is in the Ramesside period. And also, excuse me. Also in Anatolia, which is sort of modern-day Turkey, there was applying the rule of laws in the second millennium BC. So there's 2,000 years before before zero. And so China, on the other hand, although it was in the original group, didn't really pivot until about 200 BC. Okay. Mm. So...
like you said, a lot more nuanced. Then.
So a lot more nuanced than, yeah. Yeah. So this is. I think there's a lot of dispute to this, and I think the more information that people get, the more we understand how societies transformed.
Yeah.
But this idea of big data, it really opens up this possibility of testing different theories about what caused, in this case, this axial type change in society.
That's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not a historian, so no. This is...
Okay. Well, let's keep cool. Venturing history then. So early humans, where do they come in this?
Yeah, so this is earlier, or significantly earlier than the last topic, but humans, we don't look like Neanderthals. We don't look like apes. Mm-hmm. We don't look like many of the other historical sort of archaeological people that they've dug up, and there is idea that humans domesticated themselves. So in the same way, in a similar way to the way dogs and cats, farm animals, sheep and cattle have been domesticated. They're not like their wild ancestors.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so dogs are not like. You know, a chihuahua is really not much like a wolf.
Right.
Yeah. And a cat's not much like a lion or the predecessor of a lion. So
we've become domicile, is that?
Right. And so humans are thought of domesticated these animals. And so in dogs, for example, the smaller teeth, smaller skulls, floppy ears, curly tails, all the sort of the traits of a domestic pet. And the physical changes are all linked to the fact that domesticated animals have fewer of a certain kind of stem cell called a neural crest stem cell. Now, you can compare this to humans. Modern humans are also less aggressive and more cooperative than many of our ancestors, if you compare ourselves to Neanderthals, for instance. And so we've also undergone a significant physical change. And the question is, you know, how did this happen and what was the driving force for this change? So for instance, our brains are big, but our skulls are quite small in comparison to a lot of the other people, the other ancestors.
Wow.
We don't have big brow ridges. And so the question is, did we domesticate ourselves? Did we sort of self-select to get the sort of the physical traits that we now have? And so the researchers have linked it back to a particular gene, the gene BAZ1B. Doesn't mean anything, but it seems important in organizing the movements of these neural crest cells, these stem cells. And most people have one or two copies of this gene. And there are disorders, physical disorders, where this gene is missing completely. So people with a syndrome called Williams-Buren syndrome. Have smaller skulls, have elfin-like facial features, and they are extremely friendly. Mm. So this is a well-known disorder. And to study whether sort of this gene played an important role in this disorder, and also in how we've developed over the millennia, they looked at stem cell lines from people with this syndrome, people with a related syndrome, and then people without this. Disorder at all, and they learned that this gene really strongly affects hundreds of other genes involved in facial and cranial development.
Okay.
And so the story is that a tamped down gene, this BAZ1B gene, probably led to the distinct features of people with the syndrome, Williams-Buren syndrome, and also could have been linked to how we have sort of physically changed, become more domesticated, right. More peaceful, since we split off from the Neanderthals or whatever.
Fascinating. Thank you, Marcus, for taking us historically back into the... Wow. All right. Good way to end the year, but you will be with us next week, maybe?
Yes, I think so. Have a, I'll talk
to We'll check. Me. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for coming in today, Marcus.
Yeah, no worries.
Mind blowing. That was Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.
What do millennials and